Is bigger than big. Pastor Tim spoke on it a few weeks ago, and he's going to be speaking on it again. And every Sunday, we have communion set up over here. The prophetic team decorates it and presents it and gets it ready every week. And during worship, during greeting time, during after the service, just whenever you feel like God wants you to, you can go serve yourself and take communion. And when you do, something happens. You know, I love that song. This is a house of miracles. Well, do it then. Right? And we've seen miracles. I'm so glad that Thomas had that testimony this morning. And there's going to be a whole lot more coming. It's really true. When I took communion this morning, I did it before the service, before worship started. And I took the body and I took the blood of Christ. And as I was taking the blood, you know, they just give you a little bit. I went to Europe, they drink like 8 ounces of wine or more with their communion. And there's this little bitty cup. And I'm like, do you know, I need him. Not an idea, not a thought. I really do need him. And so when I was drinking my little tiny few drops of grape juice, I breathed in and I was like, God, I really need a lot of you today. And so I'm not drinking a lot of you, but I can breathe a lot of you. And I took him in, and guess what? I hate to say it, but I felt better. I felt encouraged. I felt faith. I felt boldness. I felt good, you know? And so guys, don't miss that opportunity to take communion. We do it corporately, sometimes together. We do it in our connect groups, our small groups. We do it at men's ministries, women's ministries. We do it different times together. But every Sunday, it's here for you. And take it, be mindful. And today, I'm going to mention this now because I think I'll forget to say it later. So I'm writing it down. I have this great memory. It's called number 2 lead. It's amazing what what I can remember when I write it down. So, hey, this is a new year, right? So I want you guys to loosen up a little bit today. I know it's a new year. A lot of us on New Year's, it's a time of introspection, reflection. You know, a lot of people make New Year's, not promises, resolutions, right? That's a great word. And a lot of people do that. And you know, a lot of times you sit back, and have you ever noticed this? I think we're talking about the shame-free gospel. We're going to get there, but we're getting there by here. You look at your body, and you're like, do you know, it's really interesting. We see things that we would like to see changed, right? I'd like to get in shape this year. I'd like to lose 20 pounds this year. I would like to my blood pressure level to go down this year. My pain levels to go down. A lot of times, it's funny, a lot of New Year's resolutions has to do with this, which is real on every single one of us that's still this side of heaven. And a lot of them have to do with your emotions, your feelings, your relationships, your business, your investments. It's always something you want to do. I've never seen anybody make a resolution like this. I want to be grumpier this year than I was last year. Praise God. I mean, besides Pops. I look forward to being a grumpy old man. But, you know, you don't do that. Nobody makes a resolution. Well, I want my body to get in worse shape than this by the end of the year. Praise God. No, resolutions are just like what we need. When we talk about God's a God of miracles now, we're not talking about bad miracles. We're talking about good miracles. And that's what it's all about, right? And so this year, I think it's really true. So I want to talk to you about this thing inside of us that happens when we know we need to make a change. Something needs to change. And, you know, I want to read you some statistics that are really interesting. And you guys that are old enough know this is true. You know that gym memberships like all the fitness places, they go up 50% increase in January every year. Like, they really do. It's like because a lot of people are saying, I want to be able to breathe. I want to be able to, when I walk upstairs, not to pass out when I get to the top. And you'll go and you'll join a gym because there's a physical change, a change that needs to happen in your body. And so 50% increase in volume in January attendance. And The second week of January is usually the busiest week of the year for every gym in the nation. Isn't that crazy? And guess what? This is facts. These are just facts, statistics. 80% of the New Year's resolution crowd that came to the gym on the second week in January, 80% drops off by the second week of February. Only 18% actually make it farther than 2 months. And that's their business model, right? I mean, they're not stupid. They get you to pay for a year. They know that if there's 1,000 people sign up, they know that only 200 people are going to use the facilities. And so they base their business model on that reality. It's true every year. Listen, you need to understand something. Outward change is a result of inward change. And it's never the other way around. And it's proven every single year. You know, I love this. You know, we're talking about this the shame-free gospel. And we've been talking about that for a few months now. And we're talking about why is sin so bad? You know, I believe that this same mentality gets inside of our hearts. The same mentality as the gym thing. We believe that if we want to change our body enough, if that will actually change us, your body won't change unless something on the inside changes. Inward change brings outward expression. And it's not the other way around. Internal change becomes external reality. And that's what we want to talk about. That's why I want to show you why sin is so bad. You know, I remember 18 years ago, Corey Townsend, is he in the room? He's our lead usher. He's guarding the hallway or something right now. Corey's a young man. He's like real thin, and he was like he trained martial arts for years when he was a teenager. When we first met him, when he was 16, 17, 18 years old, he was a martial arts expert. He had big classes he would run. The dude was amazing, you know? But that was 18 years ago. And I've always sort of wondered when Corey, hi Corey, y'all don't know, there's Corey in the back. See how good a shape he's in? Not. He hasn't worked out in 18 years. And he strained his back he strained his back doing yard work last week and he could barely walk. And I'm not laughing at him because you know what Corey did though? Corey knows because he was a gym rat for all those years. He knows, he said, I am not going to make a commitment to go back to the gym until I know something inside has changed. I'm not going to be one of those 80% of people that give 12 months, pay for 12 months of exercise and don't have it in me to follow through. And so Corey has done an outstanding job of not doing that. Up until this point, even though he may have found a new motivation this last week when he hurt his back to actually start working out again. So it doesn't really matter, you know. I really do love that. You know, there's more serious things than that too. Did you guys know, this is really true, 80% of the people that spend time in prison, 80% of them go back to prison within 10 years, are reincarcerated. Not reincarnated. I can't say that word, but you know what I mean? What's up with that? You see, you know that. You know what? Have you noticed if you walk around the hallways or go into the outer rooms in our building, you know, we have drop ceilings with those ceiling tiles. Have y'all noticed the water stains on some of the ceiling tiles? It drives some of you crazy, doesn't it? Well, you know, we keep changing the tiles, and the next thing you know, they have a water stain again. It doesn't change because it didn't deal with the problem. You know, guys, I believe that we need to understand one of the reasons sin is so bad is there's an internal problem that causes an external reality. And it does. It's real. But there's an internal problem. And if you don't deal with the leak in the roof, you'll never, ever fix the stained ceiling tiles we have in our building. You just won't. And I believe that we have to live there. I love this. Listen, are you a son of God? You're supposed to answer, you bet I am. That was last week, if you remember. You bet I am. Are you a son of God? You bet I am. Are you a hired servant? No. Guys, there's something that needs to change in our relationship with the Lord, that inner relationship that'll bring an outward reality. And that's what I want to talk about today. And Jesus has already done his part. In Romans chapter 6, you'll love this passage. I'm reading out of the Passage Translation. Therefore, and now anytime you see therefore in Scripture in the older translations, it actually means you need to ask the question, what is the therefore, therefore? Because Paul said this, the greatest exposition of theology in Scripture, Paul said it. Basically, he said, because of Jesus, because of His promise, His birth, His death, His burial, His resurrection, because of everything Jesus is and has done, therefore, pick up this passage now, sin is a dethroned monarch. Do you believe that? I'm going to catch y'all up so you can read this. Therefore, sin is a dethroned monarch, so you must no longer give it an opportunity to rule over your life, controlling how you live, compelling you to obey its desires and cravings. You see, sin is not just things we do. There's an entity involved. It's more. It's worse than what we think. We've taken the control that sin has over humans out of the equation and said humans have control over that. That's not what Paul's saying. He said, you give it, want controlling you over how you live. So then, refuse to answer its call to surrender your body as a tool for wickedness. Instead, passionately answer God's call to keep yielding your body to Him as one who has now experienced resurrection life. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, we now can, for the first time in history, since the resurrection, we can give ourselves in God. We can have communion with Him. And when you have communion with Him, when you connect with Him, when you encounter Him, something in you changes. It changes inside of you and it changes the outside of you. It's a different way to look at it. Now, Paul was talking to these guys because they got the reality. So they said, so it doesn't matter what we do on the outside then. Paul said, no. Why? Why would you think that way? It does matter. You live now for His pleasure, ready to be used for His noble purpose. Remember this, sin will not conquer you, for God already has. And so many people live in fear. Do you live in fear that some sin in your life, some action, some type of behavior, some thing in your family, some generational thing will actually take you over? Not according to Scripture, because God's already done it. Jesus has already done it. It's not going to happen again, for God already has conquered you. Now, you are not governed by law, but governed by the reign of the grace of God. You see, until Jesus came, God's grace kept us all alive. Because if Satan could have, he would have destroyed humanity. Because he was in control. And it was just the grace of God that kept us all alive. It's all been grace since creation up until Jesus, and it's all grace from Jesus on. It's all God's grace. What are we to do then? Should we sin to our heart's content since there's no law can condemn us anymore? What a terrible thought. Don't you realize that grace frees you to choose your own master? Now, some of you may get you might be getting tired of hearing about the shame-free gospel. Maybe you want to go back to you being the one that controls your life, instead of living by the grace and power of God. Maybe you want to go back to being responsible for everything instead of the Satan actually causing that stuff. You see, Paul said, why would you choose carefully, Paul said. Choose carefully for you surrender yourself to become a servant, bound to the one you choose to obey. Romans 6:16. Think about it. Sin is way worse than you've ever dreamed. It's not just an action we do. It's a choice of love who we love. It's a choice of who we're going to choose to be our master. Who you're going to be a slave to. That's what sin is. It's about communion. Who are you having communion with? You know how you can tell? By what your children look like. And I don't mean your physical children. If it was your physical children, some of us, some of our parents would be in big trouble, right? No. This is about you and him. This is about communion. Communion is more than just drinking and eating. It's a spiritual reality that happens, but it doesn't just happen at that table. It happens at every moment of your life as you choose whether to walk in relationship with God or not. So if you choose to love and obey God, he will lead you into perfect righteousness. And God is pleased with you. God is already pleased with you. If you are going to get baptized in the Jordan by John and you, instead of Jesus that day, when the heavens opened and God said, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. You know he would do the same thing to everyone in this room? He's pleased with you. Don't take communion in an unworthy manner. You know what I think he's talking about when he says that? I think he's talking about, don't take communion if you think you're unworthy of it, because your God has made you his adopted child. And you are worthy. You see, our problem is we don't think we are. And we'll separate ourselves from him by that judgment. And then what he says, but now your obedience is heart deep. It's no longer an external, Judaistic, legalistic obedience that you have to force yourself. I'm going to force myself to be nice this year. Good luck. Really. I need a miracle if I'm going to be nice. Because I can be bossy and pushy and all this other stuff, right? The truth is, I can't control that. I can do it on the surface. Some of you are really good at that. But when you get out of this room, not so good. When you're not at whatever, not so good. Listen, God is the one. He says, your life is being molded. That means nobody's arrived. No, none of us are there. We aren't done. We are still being molded by him into the image of his son. Just like, it's like what God does. And so now you celebrate your freedom from your former master, sin. Do not belittle sin and make it so powerless that it's just cussing or drinking or smoking or chewing or stealing or whatever. Sin is way, way more than that. It's an entity that you will take control of your life if you give it to him. Even because Jesus has set you free. So why would you do that? Why would I do that? Now, if you've left its bondage, because what happened was when Adam and Eve ate from the tree, when they broke relationship with God, sin entered the world and he gained control over them. You know, we were taught sin is an internal problem, but we were taught wrong. We were taught that Adam and Eve and the whole human race became corrupt at that moment. And that was what the problem is, that they're bad, they're not good enough, they're just corrupt, depraved. What I believe happened at the garden was sin actually took control and became their master. And God, through the blood of his son, Jesus set the captives free. So that now we get to, like Paul said, be careful who you choose to be your master. Realize what's going on. The internal problem isn't the darkness inside of me. The internal problem is the me. You know, here, I love this. I got a video I want y'all to watch. This is a great video. because it is all about love. Y'all know this verse, Matthew 22:37. This is a great video. It really explains what the problem is, okay? So would you guys show that video? I can put on my socks. I can do it by myself. I look nice and neat. I am by myself. Do you agree? I can do it well. I can wash my face. I can do it by myself. I can brush my teeth. I can do it by myself. How nice and neat I am by myself. I agree, I can do it well. I can eat my meal. It could go on forever. It could go on forever. Listen, that's the devil. That's the devil that Adam and Eve talked to in the garden. God said, stay with me, you're my children, walk with me, and everything you desire, everything you need, everything you, that we'll do it together. And there's something inside of every human that is driven to do it themselves. And you watch it with children as they're growing up. They're so proud when they can do it by themselves. But do you know what sin is? It's doing things by yourself. And the problem is, it's not just by yourself. The moment we separate ourselves and we take all the responsibility, you know, it's funny. I can do it by myself is the darkness that lives inside of every human being. And we struggle with it every day. You come to church, and what do? We encourage you to take your problems to Him. You come to church, and what do? We encourage you to let Jesus heal you physically, to let Jesus heal your family, to let Jesus come in into your life. We encourage each other to follow Him, follow Him. And you know what the rest of the world does? They sing this song. And I don't know how to raise children. We're working on that. How do you raise children? We want to clap for children when they're growing and when they're maturing and they can put their pants on by themselves, when they actually can figure out the zipper goes in front instead of in back. It's a big deal, you know? That I'm not going to tell you all the story about my grandson, but I couldn't get him to turn his pants around one day. He's walking around with his pants all day. I mean, for an hour. I'm like, Jacob, if you would turn them around, you could button them and they'd stay up. He said, I'm okay, because he didn't want to stop playing. Okay, whatever. I can do it by myself isn't a bad thing, but it's not with him. And it's all about love. It's always been about communion, relationship, and it's not about what we thought it was. You know, internal change. You know what the internal change needs to be in our lives? The opposite of doing it by myself. That's what God wants to change with you. And you know, I love the story of the prodigal sons, right? In that story, it's like the Lord shook my world up with that story about 15 years ago. And I didn't even understand what was going on with it until last week. I don't know, you guys may remember some of this. It was 20 years ago, really. I bet it was 20 years ago. I have this encounter with God. It's a huge thing for me. God brings to me Romans 1:16, which I have no... It's one of my favorite verses in the Bible. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation for the Jew and the Gentile, to all them who believe. Great verse. But my definition of the gospel was this big. It did not include I can do it by myself as sin. It didn't include that. I didn't understand that. And the Holy Spirit came and He told me, Alan, you're ashamed of the gospel. And it was one of those times I knew it was God. And I'm broken. If you've ever felt conviction, you know what that feels like? Just deep conviction. I was broken. And I said, God, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I told somebody about Jesus just yesterday. You know, I did it all the time. And finally, like the, I don't remember, third or fourth day of having these encounters with God, and this huge conviction. Finally, I'm like, God, I give up. I confess. I agree with you. I'm ashamed of the gospel. Even though I didn't have any understanding in my head. Well, the next day, I'm getting ready. I'm spending time with the Lord again in the morning. And next thing I know, God says, well, read the prodigal son story. I love that story. I mean, how many of you guys sort of view yourself as the prodigal son, you know, the one that went off and sold his wild oats and messed up, and he went and lived hard life this way, and then he saw the light and he came back home? Everybody wants to be that guy. That's like a John Wayne movie, you know. It's like, great. And so I'm reading that story, and I'm thinking about the prodigal son, which that's not really what that story should be called. It should be called The Father with Two Sons, because there's two sons. I read it. I'm reading my Bible, and I feel that conviction come on me again. And this time I hear the Lord say, you're the son who stayed home. I was broken. That entitled, ungrateful, yang boy that complains about everything and is jealous of his brother, I'm that guy? I didn't get it. Guys, I didn't get it. And the same thing. So I'm arguing with God again. God, I'm not going to agree with that. I'm not that guy. Well, 2 or 3 days pass, and I'm still there. You say, there is an internal problem in us, but it's not corruption. That's not what it is. It's a lack of communion. That's our problem. Jesus came back so that we could be one with Him. He came back so that we could be adopted into His family. He came back so Holy Spirit God could live in us. It was always about internal relationship with Him that'll express itself through external reality. So when I encounter God, it doesn't just change the way I feel inside, it changes the world around me too. I can give away what I've been given. And that's what Christianity is all about. And we say it's all about being kind and nice and honest and gentle. It's all about releasing the reality of what God has done inside of us, not living externally, but living internally. That's why communion is such a huge thing. And we don't understand it, but we're getting there. So this guy had two sons. And y'all know the prodigal son, he wanted to have fun. He wanted to experience life. He wanted to do everything that he didn't think his father would let him do at home. So he took his inheritance and he went off and he lived a wild, crazy life until he went totally broke. He's actually starving to death, living like a homeless person, and he has a bright idea. Oh, I'm going to go back home. My father's hired servants eat better than I do. I'm eating pig slop and I'm starving. And so he goes back home. Y'all know the story. It's a great story. He goes home. The father's waiting. Every day the father has been waiting for his son to come back. And he sees him. He runs out to greet him. He puts a ring on him. He puts a robe on him. He puts shoes on him. It's all huge symbolic meaning. Basically, he says, you're my son. You've always been my son. You've never not been my son. You are fully back in, son of the king. And now the father's throwing a party for him, right? Because that's all the father ever wanted was his heart. The son thought the son really didn't understand who the father really was. The father wasn't. He would have gotten everything he needs if he would have stayed at home. He went to get it his own self, and he went broke. That's what sin is. The younger son said, I can do it by myself. Of course, he needed his inheritance to go do it, but it didn't matter. He can't do it by himself. Neither can you. Neither can I. Neither could Thomas. Can you handle your emotional pain by yourself? No. Can you handle your future and your destiny by yourself? No. What about your past? Can you handle that? No. You need the power of God in your life. And the longer you run away, the hungrier, more deprived you'll get. The hungrier you'll get, the more you try to do it yourself. In him is life. He's the light of men. He's a river that never runs dry. He is, and not his stuff. And so you know what happened. So the older boy, and the older boy, let me skip ahead in the story. So the older boy, we're going to him. The younger son is worth reading. There's one verse about the younger son. He said, the father said, let's prepare a great feast and celebrate, for this beloved son of mine was once dead, but now he's alive. He once was lost, but now he's found. That word dead means unable. Not depraved, not corrupt, not evil, not bad. It just means unable. Literally, he went on his own. He left his dad, and he was dead because he couldn't even provide for himself. And that's a spiritual reality for me and you. Without Jesus, we're dead. Now, we're not dead in that sense. We just don't have any supernatural power of God working in our lives. And that'll never turn out well. It'll never make it. It means dead. It's useless, ineffective, powerless. Now, lost. It's funny. When he says lost, it means lost from what I believe in this story. The father knew where he was at, and he knew where the son was at. But from the father's perspective, the father was not able to impact and input into the son's life as long as he was gone. Do you know what happens when we sin? When we sing that song, I can do it by myself. It's a great little cute song. Sing it, you devil, because it's a devil-worshipping song. Now, I don't know. Sing it to your kids. You got to teach your kids that stuff. I know that. Learn to tie your shoes. Please learn to wipe your own butt. Please, you know. I'm not going to tell you about my nephew. His name's Eric Smith. I'm not going to tell you that story. He's a grown man now. He does his own stuff, but before he didn't. You know, it's true. I could do it by myself. All that does is it puts us in bondage to someone whose intent is to destroy us and everybody around us. And that's all it is. That's all sin is. And so lost means from God's perspective, he was lost. From his own perspective, he had no power to live. He didn't have any sources. Now, in this next part, the older son, guess what happened to him? Y'all know the story. The older son became angry, and he refused to go in and celebrate. And so his father went after him too. It says his father ran out to him. And the son said, Father, listen, how many years have I been working like a slave? When you take communion in an unworthy manner, you know, this son saw himself as a slave. He never was. He thought he had to earn everything that he got. You see, he believed that he'd made a commitment. I'm going to be here. I'm going to serve you faithfully. I'm not going to disobey you. Listen, guys, does life come from communion or does it come from commitment? It's a big difference. It's a huge difference. You know, from birth, every one of us in this room have been trained to work for what we're going to have, to perform for approval. That's in us. That's the corruption inside of us. And we believe that we're only worthy whenever we earn it. But do you know what? The older son saw himself that way. He said, I've never disobeyed you, but you've never thrown a party for me because of my faithfulness. I was here. I did everything I had to do to gain your approval, Dad, and you never approved of me. He never had to do anything to gain his approval. He was already approved. You know what? Are you working from a place of approval, or are you working to be approved? It's a big difference. And I think a lot of the times in our world, In the Christian world, we work for approval, not from approval. We have to earn it. We have to work for it. And we don't live by communion. We live by commitment. Me too. It goes good in church. That day when God told me I was the son that stayed home, I mean, the ungrateful, entitled son that stayed home, it hurt. It hurt deep. And then God did this really crazy thing. And last week, I saw it for the first time. I knew it because maybe you've had an open vision. Have you ever had an experience where you're actually in a different place? You're awake. You're not dreaming. It's like real. Well, when that was happening, for 5 days in a row, after I repented of being the son who stayed home, which I still didn't know what that meant. And that was 20 years ago, guys. I repented. Last week, someone's praying with me. I'm doing freedom prayer. They're praying for me. And I get back in that. I remember that memory. And in that memory, I'll tell you what it is. Got a couple minutes. So I'm standing in this big room. Not this big, like half this size, but this long. It was a long room. In this memory, I'm standing in this room, and it's decorated. There's stuff on the walls. There's chairs, whatever. And I see God the Father walking towards me. And no, I don't remember what his face looked like, but I knew it was God. And he's walking towards me, and he's carrying something. I've told this before in church. He's carrying something. And he walks up like, you know, a few feet from me. And it's a gift, and it's wrapped. I mean, it's a nice gift, like Christmas wrapped, you know. I mean, not Santa Claus, but it's Christmas wrapped. And he doesn't say anything. He just, and y'all know what that means if somebody walks up to you and goes with a gift. He went like this, and I went like this. I said no. And I really don't remember if there are any words. But I know I said no. Vision's over. Go to work, work all day, go home, do whatever. Next morning, I'm going to pray again and read my Bible again. And I'm back in that room again. And I'm standing here. This is about this big. I'm standing here, and I look up, and here comes the Lord again, God the Father. And he's carrying the gift. And I'm getting nervous because I already know I'm going to say no. He comes up, lifts out. I'm like, no, I can't take it. He takes it back and it's gone. 4 days that happens. I know I'm stubborn. That's not a spiritual gift. It's just I'm stubborn. It's not just stubborn, guys. I was raised just like you are, where you earn everything, and I hadn't earned that gift because I had not been who I felt like God wanted me to be. And so I, in my heart, praying, I thought, God, I don't care. I will serve you the rest of my life with nothing until I die. I don't deserve that gift. Now, the fifth day, right, I've already made up my mind, and inside I knew it was the last day. Isn't that sort of sad? I knew it wasn't going to happen again. And sure enough, I'm standing here. Here comes the Lord. Box. Gift, you know. He walks up to me. He lifts out. I go, no. And he turns around to walk away, and I turned around to walk away. And this is all in my head. But when I did, it's like if I'm looking at you guys and you're all there, I know you're all there, and I turn around and then I'm like, something changed and all of you shifted sides of the room. You know, you can sort of feel that happening, right? I would know something, what just happened? Something just happened. And I turned around and looked, and God was sitting in a chair, like a big chair. Yeah, he sits in chairs. He created a throne in heaven. Remember, he sits a lot. And then he's sitting in that chair. And I'm looking at him, clueless because I don't see the gift. And he goes, look at me right in the eye. And I died. Emotionally, I died. Because you do not sit in God's lap. And I don't know. I don't even remember what happened next. I don't remember the rest of the day. I didn't go sit in his lap. I didn't take the gift. But that's memory's always been in my mind. And then God brings me to the prodigal son who had worked. One, didn't see his father the right way. He didn't think his dad would take care of him. He thought he had to go get everything on his own to be happy. And the other was trying to earn his father's approval. Both were disconnected from him. Neither one were having communion with him. They didn't understand their dad. And I'm like, God, I've been telling you no for 20 years. I didn't know you didn't have to earn everything. You know, in business, you get a return on investment. The harder you work, the smarter you work, the more you make. That's not how it is in the kingdom. In the kingdom, you get a return on communion. That's what you get a return on. And he's faithful. If you've never given your life to him, you're missing out on so much. You know, he had grace on me for the last 20 years, even though I told him no. Isn't he good? He loves you. He doesn't want your stuff. You don't have to earn anything. Jesus did it all. All he wants is your heart. You know what the first commandment is? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your being. The second is like it, to love your neighbor the way you love yourself. It's always been about love. It will always be about love. Always. So you know why sin's so bad? It cuts us off from this, from the love of God. He wants to give it to you. He wanted to give me that gift. And I wouldn't take it. I saw myself differently than he did. That's what that means. Don't take communion in an unworthy manner. Listen, you are worthy. You're valuable. You're unique. You're special. You bet I am. You see, when we say that, are you a son of God? Are you unique? Are you special? Do you have value? Are you worth being approved of? You bet I am. In your life, the more you say that with him, the more you'll have the experience that comes from this. It's communion with him is everything. So you know why sin's so bad? It's the opposite of this. It's I can do it by myself. Right? Don't you want to give that up? I'm going to ask the Lord to show you guys. I want him to show me. I know he will. He's faithful. I don't know when he'll show you, but I know he will. He'll show you where you're living by yourself, how you're judging yourself, how you think you can do it by yourself like a little two-year-old. He'll show you because he wants this. And every place I'm doing it by myself, this isn't happening. So this morning, if you've been living by yourself, even though you're a Christian, it'd be a good day to come back to him. Maybe there's things in your life you don't even know about. Ask him. He'll show you where you're doing it by yourself. For me, it was 20 years ago. Can you imagine? I can't. I'm like, 20 years, God. You've been waiting 20 years for me to take the box? You're the most patient person, non-person I've ever known, right? So this morning, we're going to have a ministry time. Maybe you need to make New Year's resolution. You need to have a change in the way you think. No longer I'm going to do it by myself. I'm going to do it with him. I'm going to have a heart connection with Him. I'm going to do communion. However you do it, I'm going to do it all the time, God. You're the air I breathe. You're the blood in my veins. You're what gives me a motivation to go on. You're everything. You're my everything. So this morning, if you want to give your life to God, it'd be a good day to do it. You'll never experience life without Him. If you've been out there on your own like I've been, ask Him to show you where you're doing it yourself. He will. He will. Because He wants you. He thinks you're special. If you've been judging yourself, like that son who went away and wasted all of his money, he was totally judging himself. I will just be a hired servant. Oh, how noble, how wonderful that sounds. No, that's sin. He was a son of the King. That never changed. Even when he was out there, he was still his son. Has nothing. Your value has never gone down no matter what you've ever done. Ever. You're still the same value to him. He loves you. He thinks you're wonderful. So you need to let that go. You need to repent. If you've been judging yourself, you need to let that go and come home. It's all about going home. All right? Let's all stand up, if you would. If you can. In your heart, in your mind, answer this question, okay? So let's all bow our heads, because we're gonna be dismissed. And when we dismiss, we have a couple of teams up here that want to pray for you. That'll help you have an encounter with Jesus. Let's all close our eyes for a second. And I want you to answer this in your heart, okay? Because this is a heart issue. And I want you to answer, you bet I am, to every question. I don't know if you can, but I'd like for you to say that. Here we go. Are you a son of God? Are you unique? You bet I am. Are you approved? Are you set free from bondage to Satan? So God, I just say that your people are free. That Jesus, what you said is true. There isn't a battle. God's already won. And that we belong to Him. And His righteousness is going to rule and reign in our lives. So God, I ask that you would reveal to each one of us areas where we are judging ourselves, where we're judging you, where we're living like those little kids. I can do it by myself. God, I just pray that we would be set free from that bondage to the enemy, and we would embrace relationship with you. So God, in a deeper way, this week than last week, I ask that you would just expose any place in our lives where we're doing it by ourselves. Holy Spirit, we invite you to expose those things where we're living that way. Where we live by that mantra, I can do it by myself. We need you, King. So as you're dismissed, if you want to do communion, you can before you leave. If you'd like to pray with somebody, please come and we'll pray with you. Love each other. Thank you all for being here. Thank you for your sacrifice. Amen. 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 Yeah, thank you.